Welcome to Crown of Life Baptist Church.
The love of God is greater far than tongue or pen can ever tell. It goes beyond the highest star and reaches to the lowest hell. The guilty pair bowed down with care. God gave his son to win. His erring child he reconciled and pardoned from his sin. Could we with ink the ocean fill, and were the skies of parchment made, were every stalk on earth a quill, and every man a scribe by trade,
saints and angels song.
Good morning, Central Indiana. You are listening to Pastor Greg DeZula of Crown of Life Baptist Church, currently meeting at the Wyndham Hotel Noblesville. We invite you to join our Sunday morning service at 10 o'clock, preparing hearts to embrace God's Word and desiring His coming kingdom. God is calling sinners to the cross, and He is calling believers to the crown. Enjoy today's program with Pastor Greg DeZula. Be listening to the end of today's program for opportunities on how you can support this radio ministry. Jesus said, "Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life."
Good morning. I want to bring a message this morning on the Olivet Discourse, found in Matthew chapter 24 and 25. We also see it in Mark chapter 13, Luke chapter 21. Luke 21. And so we'll talk more about that, the Olivet Discourse. The subtitle to the Olivet Discourse message today is The Jew, the Gentile, and the Church of God. Mount Olive, which was to the east of Jerusalem, and I have a picture in my hands of a time many years ago in 1994 when I had an opportunity to go to Israel. And we had a picture taken, a group picture taken from the Mount of Olives, and it looks out over Jerusalem. And so as Jesus was preaching, he could see the Temple Mount, the wall of Jerusalem, the Eastern Gate, that was sealed. Today it is sealed. It wasn't sealed in Jesus's time. It's sealed now. And so Jesus was preaching. This was a message at the end of Jesus's life, just before he was crucified. And it was a long sermon, just like the Sermon on the Mount was at the beginning of his ministry. This is a sermon at the end of his ministry. Jesus is giving a great warning of what this is going to be like in the world when he leaves the earth after his ascension. And so he gives us a lot of prophecy that is wrapped up in the Olivet Discord. There are seven parables. We won't get to them today, but there are seven parables in the Olivet Discourse, and we'll talk about each one of those. But this sort of ties into the message of the seven rapture references in Revelation message that I gave back in July. And we will see some passages that allude to the pre-tribulation rapture, and some do not. And there is a video on the internet that uses a passage from the Olivet Discourse that they point to the fact that the pre-tribulation rapture is a hoax. And they take a passage of scripture out of context, and a passage of scripture that is applying to the part of Jesus, the return of Jesus coming to the earth, versus the return of Jesus to the clouds. And you have to understand that Jesus's return is a two-stage return, two-stage advent. First, he comes to the clouds in mystery, secretly, and then he will come to the earth in a powerful way of coming to the earth, and we'll look at that here. Jesus gives us that information, reveals that to us in the first part of the Olivet Discourse. I want to read to you a quote from Robert Govett. I respect much of his writings. I refer to a lot of his commentaries. And he writes something very important for us to know and understand about the book of Matthew and also the Olivet Discourse. But he says here, quote, "Our times are those of crisis and of peril in doctrine as well as practice. There are many who are systematically setting aside the teaching of the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, with the all-sufficiency cry that they say, that's Jewish. In so doing, they are ceasing to be disciples of Christ. For the teaching of the Lord Jesus as a whole is only to be found in the Gospels. In regard to the New Testament, they are falling into the very error of interpretation which was so justly rebuked when applied to the prophets. All the promises are for the church, all the threats for the Jews." That's what they claim. That's what is being claimed. Govett was a contemporary preacher with Charles Spurgeon. So this was being preached in the 1800s. All the promises are for the church, all the threats for the Jews. Govett goes on to say, "Nay, some are throwing overboard all commandments too. To the church belongs privilege only, no precepts, no responsibility. It is time then to show that what the gospel saith, it saith to them that are under the gospel." And that is a quote by Robert Govett. We have to understand the importance of the gospel and the hope we have in the gospel and the preaching of the Lord Jesus Christ and the words. The Sermon on the Mount is just as important to the church today as it was 1,000 years ago, 2,000 years ago. Jesus' teaching on the Sermon on the Mount is to the church and just as much as important as this Olivet Discourse is to the church. There are certain aspects that will be very relevant to the Jews, and we'll bear that out. But those who are spiritually able to discern these things, and that's only the church, the Christians, the believers that can discern these things in the Gospels. And that wasn't to the Jew only, it was to the church, the Gentile and Jew together. They're neither Gentile nor Jew in the church, it's the church. And so we have to understand how important these passages are to us today. They're just as relevant to us as they were when Jesus preached them. Paul gives a stern warning about not ignoring the words of Jesus Christ. He says in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 3, "If any man teach otherwise and consent not to wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to the doctrine which is according to godliness." I have been told that only the teaching of Paul is for the church today, and that is circulating here in Indianapolis area among fundamental churches, that only Paul's gospel is for the church today. His epistles are only for the church today, and that the words of Christ are not for the church. And that is still alive to this very day. And so there are churches teaching that. No, the words of Jesus Christ are for the Gentile age of the church today. Even though there are Jews that come to Christ and know Christ as their Savior, church is primarily made up of Gentiles all around the world, and the teachings of Jesus is for the church and not just Paul's epistle. Paul's epistles, Paul is just elaborating what Jesus was teaching. And the other epistle writers are doing the same thing. They just are given further information. The Holy Spirit gives them further information to pen doctrinal truths that support what Jesus was teaching in the gospel. So the Gospel of Matthew is the only gospel of the four that introduces us to the term church. Used three times. First time it's used to declare its founder and head, and the second and third time it's recognized. It recognizes the church's existence and authority. We find that in Matthew 16, 18 and 18, 17. So let me read for you the Olivet Discourse, and we'll just read up to verse 31, and we will answer some questions in the Olivet Discourse that we see here. It says in verse 1, chapter 24, Matthew 24, verse 1, "And Jesus went out and departed from the temple, and his disciples came to him for to show him the buildings of the temple. And Jesus said unto them, See ye not all these things? Verily I say unto you, there shall not be left here one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down." Verse 3, "And as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately, saying, Tell us, when shall these things be? And what shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world? Verse 4, "And Jesus answered and said unto them, Take heed that no man deceive you, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. And ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that ye be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. Verse 7, "For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famine and pestilence, and earthquakes in divers places. All these are the beginning of sorrows. Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted, and shall kill you, and ye shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. And then shall many be offended, and shall betray one another, and shall hate one another, and many false prophets shall rise, and shall deceive many. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. Verse 13, but he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. And we'll just end it there for right now at verse 14. But we will continue on with the other passages later on. In the Olivet Discourse, Jesus replies to the three questions asked by the disciples. So the three questions are, when shall the temple be thrown down? Question number two, what shall be the sign of thy coming? Question number three, what shall be the sign of the end of the world? So Jesus answers these questions. In the latter part of the Olivet Discourse, he gives us seven parables, and we will look at that, also answering those questions. Deserted by the Son of God, the temple, along with Jerusalem, is to be dismantled, destroyed, and desolate till Jesus returns. Then will come its promised day of future glory as revealed by Ezekiel in a vision. And the latter part of the book of Ezekiel, from chapter 40 to chapter 48, we see the kingdom age. Ezekiel is given a vision of that kingdom. And he says in verse 3, now Ezekiel has a vision, and he's brought to Israel in a vision. And he sees a man, and the Bible says there in Ezekiel 40, verse 3, and he brought me thither, and behold, there was a man whose appearance was like the appearance of brass, with a line of flax in his hand and a measuring reed, and he stood in the gate. And we know for those first two chapters there that this man, who is the appearance of the Lord Jesus Christ, his latter appearance, his appearance when he comes for the second advent and builds he establishes his kingdom and builds the temple, the millennial temple. And we see this man's measuring out the size of this temple. Ezekiel reveals these things in the first, in chapter 40, 41, 42. He gets a whole vision of what the temple will look like and the size of the temple. And so notice, the appearance of this man is the same as that of the Son of Man found in the beginning of the book of Revelation. We find in Revelation chapter 1, verse 13 and 15, and in the midst of the seven candlesticks, one like unto the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the foot and girt about the paps with a golden girdle, and his feet like unto fine brass, as if they burned in a furnace, and his voice as the sound of many waters. And so what Ezekiel was seeing is a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ at his second advent, just like John the Revelator saw in the book of Revelation. Also, Daniel sees the same appearance in Daniel chapter 10. We read, then I lifted up my eyes and looked, and behold, a certain man clothed in linen, whose loins were girded with fine gold of Uphaz. His body also was like the beryl, and his face as the appearance of lightning, and his eyes as lamps of fire, and his arms and his feet like in color to polished brass, and the voice of his words like the voice of a multitude. And so we see this, this color brass, gold and brass, very finely polished brass, almost appears like gold. And so this appearance that Ezekiel has, that Daniel has, and also John the Revelator has, is an appearance that he will come back and reestablish the city of Jerusalem. And it will be the the holy city in the millennial reign of Jesus Christ, and he will reign from Jerusalem. And so more of that in the future. But note, coming back to the Olivet Discourse, note what Jesus says just before he begins the Olivet Discourse about Jerusalem, as he's exiting Jerusalem, and he's just grieved with what Jerusalem had become, and see him. He had been preaching about the hypocrites, the religious leaders, and their hypocrisy. And he says, "O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets and stonest them which are sent unto thee, how often would I have gathered thy children together, even as a hen gathereth her chickens under her wings, and ye would not. Behold, your house is left unto you desolate. For I say unto you, ye shall not see me henceforth till ye shall say, Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord." And so we will look at that at the end when Jesus returns to this earth. He will plant his feet on the Mount of Olives, and the Mount of Olives will split open. There will be a great gulf fixed between the mountain. And so we see this this picture that there's going to be a great desolation, a demolishing of Jerusalem soon to happen after Jesus ascended. We know that Emperor Titus of the Roman Empire in 70 AD destroyed Jerusalem and the temple and leveled the temple. And Israel, though they're back in Jerusalem from 1948, back in Jerusalem, they've reestablished. We'll see that in this prophecy also on the Olivet Discourse. But they still do not have a temple. There is much talk about rebuilding the temple, but because of the mosque that's on the Temple Mount, there is much confusion about building that temple. So the dismantling of Jerusalem and of its temple gives us the beginning of the day of the mystery of Christ, the time of the church, when the true worshipers, bound to no one sacred spot on earth, worship the Father and the Son by the Holy Spirit. We read the words of Jesus as he tells the woman at the well in Samaria. He says, "But the hour cometh and now is when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth." And this was a great mystery and the beginning of the church age that we read in Romans and Corinthians also is a mystery. We see this word mystery of the church age. What's interesting about Daniel, the book of Daniel, all the prophecy of Daniel centers around the Jews and the restoration of the Jews in some future day. But Daniel is not aware of the church. He doesn't see that in the visions that were revealed to him. It was a mystery, but it was revealed to the disciples, and it was a great hidden mystery. So Matthew chapters 24 and 25 traces for us the great events to occur during the Savior's absence, up to the time of the great king's appearance upon the earth. It tells us of the Lord's acts towards the three great bodies which God is recognizing: the Jews, the Gentiles, and the Church of God. So let's look at the first answer. When shall the temple be thrown down? The Lord Jesus answers the first question. The temple would be destroyed by the Romans when there were many false Christs, wars, and rumors of wars. We see that in verses 5 and 6 in Matthew chapter 24. This is the only part which has been fulfilled. Jesus cautions us against supposing that the Roman destruction is the end of the age. And he says, no, the end is not yet. The intermediate period about which the Savior says not is the time of the mystery, the day of the church. Approximately 2,000 years have filled this gap. So the end is not. We see that in verse 6. And ye shall hear of wars and rumors of war. See that ye be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. And so there's the period of time in that Olivet Discourse where there is the destruction of Jerusalem. And the Jews are scattered by the Romans, and they flee for their lives, and Jerusalem becomes desolate. So we read, it's interesting that in the book of Matthew, Matthew doesn't record this part of the Olivet Discourse as detailed as Luke does. Luke gives us a little more insight into the destruction of Jerusalem here. We see in Luke chapter 21, verse 20, "And when ye shall see Jerusalem compassed with armies, then know that the desolation thereof is nigh. Then let them which are in Judea flee to the mountains, and let them which are in the midst of it depart out. And let not them that are in the countries enter thereinto. For these be the days of vengeance, that all things which are written may be fulfilled." Verse 23, "But woe unto them that are with child, and unto them that give suck." That's talking about mothers who are nursing young children. "In those days, for there shall be great distresses in the land, and wrath upon this people. And they shall fall by the edge of the sword, and shall be led away captive into all nations, and Jerusalem shall be trodden down of the Gentiles until the time of the Gentiles be fulfilled." And this is the time of the Gentiles. We are in the time of the Gentiles. The time of the Gentiles when Jesus was here on this earth was the time of the Gentiles. Actually, the time of the Gentiles began in when the Israelites were expelled from their land, and they were in exile in Babylon by Nebuchadnezzar. And that has been the time of the Gentiles, and we are still in the time of the Gentile. The Gentile nations rule the earth, and Jerusalem was made desolate and destroyed. The temple was completely leveled, and every stone was taken down from the temple.
You have been listening to Greg DeZula of Crown of Life Baptist Church. Join us every Sunday morning here on Freedom 95 at 7:30 and Sunday service at 10 a.m. Currently meeting at the Wyndham Hotel, formerly the Cambria Hotel, 13,500 Tegeler Drive, Noblesville, where you will hear the hard-hitting truths found in the Word of God, unabashedly proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ and his coming kingdom from the inerrant and infallible King James Bible, the true voice of freedom. If you enjoy this programming and would like to send support, please mail to P.O. Box 47201, Indianapolis, Indiana 46247-0201. Your financial support is tremendously appreciated. Email Pastor Greg at gdzula@gmail.com. That's gdzula@gmail.com. We look forward to hearing from you.